All right, let's get started. We are in the second to last line on Daf Nun Zayinam in Beis. Shomer Chinam Eino Nishma. Okay, so we said that Shomer Chinam does not swear on any of the things in the list. So the Gemara has a question on this. Okay, Verminu, contradiction. Bnei Yair Sheshochu Ishikleyin. So you have a city. So as we know that there's a chiyuv of machtes hashekel, you have to send the half shekel coin for the korbanos to chip in. Everybody has to chip in for the korbanos. There's actually multiple types of shekel that needs to be given, but the main machtes hashekel is to pay for the korbanos. So people in the city gave it to one person as a shliach to deliver their shkalim to the Beis HaMikdash. They don't live that close. It's a hassle for all of them to go. So they're sending it in Adar with a messenger. And v'nigdavu, oshavdu, got stolen or lost. Okay. The shliach either was robbed or something happened that he lost it. So the rule is like this. Im mishinitruma truma, if truma's halishka was done already, by the time this happened. So then, who do they swear to? Nishba and the Gizbar. They're going to have to swear to the Gizbar, to the treasurer. Otherwise, they're going to have to swear to the town folk. Okay? After they get the oath, meaning it was before the Truma Salishka was done, so they're going to have to take new shkalim and give again. Okay? Okay, Nimtzu, let's see, found it. Oh, Shekhzirim Ganavim, or the Ganav felt bad, they gave it back. So now you have double Shkalim. Elevate Shkalim, they're both Shkalim. They know Lam Lishon Abba, and you can't, no overage for next year. You chipped in more for this year's Karbanos, and that's just the way it is. You can't take it as a, like, oh, I have a credit for next year's. No, doesn't work that way. Okay. So that's a very big question already, because what are we talking about? Just so you understand.
When is the moment that Nitrema Truma? It's going out from
so,
the shul.
So, yeah. Yeah, I want to explain. So
the Shlichem Shafir, right?
No. We're talking about Truma Salishka.
Yeah, so Salishka has got stolen.
So, no. So let me explain. Yeah. The Shlichem didn't make it yet.
Right.
So it's
right.
The long journey. There was a three times a year that they did the Truma Salishka. For the earliest time was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's when they paid for some of the korbanos, and then they did another one later and another one later. Now the rule is like this: let's say I know I sent it in Adar. It's supposed to be there by Nisan, but let's say it didn't make it there by that time. So the halacha is that the Truma Salishka is including in the Truma Salishka all the money that was already sent in, even though it's not in the pile.
On the way.
It's on the way, so it's already included. So the moment the Truma Salishka was taken, it's already in Hegdish's
possession.
Assets,
yeah.
Possession. Okay, and that's why, at that point, it's a sichsuch. It's not between the townfolk. The townfolk were yet to their mitzvah. They did their obligation already.
The courier
was taking it from the town to the, and he didn't make it yet, and it got stolen. But when did it get stolen? If it got stolen after the Truma Salishka happened, at that money, when the Truma was taken from the pile in the Beis HaMikdash, even though he wasn't there yet, it was including, it was a truma representing the money that was sent in that didn't get there yet. So that money that's in his hands is now Hegdash money at that moment.
The courier's hand. Yeah.
The courier, in the courier's hand. So who did the Ganav steal from? Stole from Hegdash. Yeah. And therefore, who does he have to swear to? He has to swear to Hegdash. Between him and Hegdash. Now the problem with that is that we just said that you don't swear for Hegdash. I mean, this is a Shomer Chinam, the Chora. He's a regular watchman. Whatever, and then why is he swearing to the Gizbar? I thought that there's no that Shomer Chinam ain't a Nishba. That's what we said. That is what we said. Shomer Chinam does not swear for Hegdash. This is the Kasha. Doesn't fit the rule. Yeah.
The Shliach doesn't swear, not the Ganav.
The Shliach. We're talking about the Shliach.
Yeah,
but we said over here that the Shliach Nishba and the Gizbar, and he's swearing to the Gizbar. It's a Stira. That's all. Simple question. Amr Shmuel. So Shmuel says you got to change the case. The case of this shliach, this courier, is first of all he's a paid watchman. He's paid to deliver. He's not a free. He's not doing it as a job. Yeah. He's doing it for pay. Okay, courier service. Okay, that he charges for, and v'nishban litol shar, and the oath that he's taking is for wages. He wants to swear that, you know, look, I did my job, and I want to make sure I want to get my money. For my, look, it's not my fault that it got robbed, and therefore I want my money. So, question is, Yachin Nishban Gizbar, why are you swearing? Who pays this guy's wages? Not the Gizbar, Agnish doesn't pay. The B'nai Yair Mibayilei. He should swear to the B'nai Yair, not to the Gizbar. That's the question. What does the treasurer of the Agnish have to do with it?
I thought the Agnish pays him.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. So Rabba Nishban Levnei Yir, he swears to the Bnei Yir to get his wages. Bimaimid Gizbarin in the presence of the treasurer. Why? So that the treasurer doesn't suspect him of convening. And we want the treasurer to know that, look, I tried to do my job, I got robbed, not my fault. Umar says, it vi nami. The reason why it should be done in front of the presence of the Gizbar, the people, the townsfolk, don't want to be called negligent people that didn't send their shkalim. So like they really want the Gizbar to know that they tried doing their best to get the money from their town over to the base of Mikdash. It was an act, something happened. Okay, so that's why we want the Gizbar's presence. But it's not really Nishban L'Gizbarin. That's not who they're swearing to. It's a stretch in the wording. Okay. Kumar says, wait a second. Time out of here. This guy is, we said, a Shomer Sachar. He's paid.
Yeah.
Paid for his job. That means he's a paid watchman. A paid watchman is, and it was stolen or lost, that's something that he would naturally be chayav for. Now, even if you can want to say that, well, yeah, but it's Hekdesh money, so therefore he still is he doesn't have a responsibility. Even if you want to say, I understand he doesn't have to pay because it's Hekdesh property, so you don't have to pay for the fact that it was stolen from you. But I cry with me, it lives it. But you should lose your wages. You didn't do your job. That you for sure lose. That's the kasha. So Rabba. So Rabba explains nignevu. What does it mean? Nignevu. Like we had this Rabba earlier. It means not just any robbery. It was an armed robbery where he's not responsible. Or avdu she'atavu svinah salbiyam, where it was like a aveda that's also extenuating the ships. You know, sunk at sea. That's an aveda that's not like, it's not like, oh, I forgot where I put it. It's not the negligence type of aveda or mid-level aveda. It's a major, it's an onus type of aveda, which he would not have been responsible for, where he's still entitled to his wages. That's the idea. That's one answer. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Hamani Rabbi Shimon is going like Rabbi Shimon. We will see more about Reb Shimon, but we mentioned him in the Mishnah that he said that kachim that your chayv respond that you're that you have to make good on if it gets lost. Yesh le'no no, then there's ona. V'nishban alim, and then you swear. So that since they if something happens to their shkalim that they sent in to the korbanos, they have to pay for it. So therefore, I should have to swear. So therefore, that's why they swear. So Gemara says, before the truma, they are responsible to make good on it. So that makes sense why they would have to swear. Why the shliach would have to swear. But misha nitrum truma kachim she'enu chay bechrusin enu becomes kachim that he's not responsible for. They're not responsible for. They said, look, once the truma's taken, it's not our problem. We don't have to take again, right? I don't have to, so it's not, so the Tanya, as the Bryce explains, Tarmin ala avuf, the Truma's lishka goes on whatever got lost, vala gavoy, whatever got collected, vala asilikvas, and whatever will be collected. They're all included in that Truma's lishka. Bottom line is, they're not responsible anymore. Amar Ablazar, Shwazut, Kanus Chachamimi. Really? not chayv to do shvayer according to the letter of the law. But the rabbis instituted it rabbinically. It's a rabbinic add-on type of shvuah. Shlui b'nei adam mezalzel mekdeshos. We want people to be, not to treat hekdesh in a light manner. And even though really shouldn't have to swear in this case according to the technical law of things, we don't want people being reckless when it comes to hekdesh.
You mean they would watch it less because it's
hekdesh? Yeah, what they don't have to swear, so like they're not as careful. But what they, if they're going to have to take an oath, that's a scary thing to have to do. And that's why they instituted it, even though it's really extra legal. I'll be din, they shouldn't have to swear. But they instituted one not to be lax with regards to Agdash. All right, which takes us to the next halach. So Rav Yosef Bar Chama is a contradiction to Rav. We just said that a Nosei Sachar, hired guard, does not pay if it's karka, if it's hekdesh, if it's avadim. There mean we have a contradiction. Hasecher is a poil. Somebody hires a worker. Lishma is a para to watch the para. Okay. This is who's being hiring. Hekdesh is hiring a
not
person
read hekdesh, yeah.
To guard the para duma. Okay, they
bought the paraduma.
Yeah, so that's a very important job, right? You have a red heifer. Supposedly there's a,
you mean not to put
a farm of them, okay. So it makes sure that nothing's ever put on it. Right? You gotta watch it carefully.
Stay fit. Yeah.
That it shouldn't become puzzled by putting a yoke on it or by blemish. Or lishmar satinokos, meaning we're talking about the children that were raised to go draw the water for the red heifer. So you have to make sure they don't become tummy. Lishmar says rum to guard the plants. The plant thing that's going to be for the to provide the carbon omer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But Israel, after they get into the plant into the ground, the not tuma is part of the ground.
Is that a matter of tuma? But you know, if it's the first one for the carbon omer, you want to make sure that it's going to be there. Nobody taking it. It needs a guard, right? Okay, because that's what we're going to need for the korban. Ein osan loschar Shabbos. This is a hired daily worker. He's not paid for Shabbos. And therefore, levigach ein achray Shabbos alof. Therefore, it's not achray for Shabbos. Shabbos is not his responsibility. Because that would be schar Shabbos. Have schir Shabbos, schir chodesh, schir shana, schir shavua. What if the job that he's got is he's paid by the week, or he's paid by the month, or paid by the year, or by the 7-year period, which basically what that means is, you know, it's something called havla. Havla means that it's absorbed in. I'm not being paid specifically for work on Shabbos. My payment is encompassing for, you know, it's a weekly, I have a weekly rate that I'm being paid for. Can you point to any dollar and say, well, that's from Shabbos? No, because it's covering for the whole week.
The rabbis,
this is the base.
Public rabbis, anybody works on Shabbos.
This is the base for Avla.
Yeah, this is the concept of Avla, right? So that's what he's saying. That is, then he is allowed, nosun loschar Shabbos, he's paid. You don't deduct a fraction of it, you know, 1/7 if he's paid weekly. You don't deduct it. So therefore, lefika acharei Shabbos alav, therefore he is responsible for Shabbos as well. Because it's havla, it's not called tzchar Shabbos, period. Now, my love, l'shalim. Isn't that basically saying that he has to pay? And this is hegdish stuff. So we're saying that he pays the hegdish. And I thought a Shomer Sacher doesn't pay to Agdash. That's what we just said. So why is it? Sukumar says, lo, lahafsit skaru. It's well, what it means, let's say something happens on Shabbos. What we're saying, he's responsible for Shabbos or not responsible for Shabbos? So what is that relevant for? The answer is, not that he would have to pay, because anyway he wouldn't have to pay, because you don't pay. A Shomer Sacher of Hegdish does not pay, and this is Hegdish stuff. He's hired by Hegdish. So but he would lose his wages if something happens on Shabbos or not. That's the question. Let's look at the first line. Diktani Shabbos Alava Christ of Shabbos not on him. Hachinam de left his karay to lose his wages. Or miyislay skar Shabbos. He doesn't have any wages of Shabbos to lose it. Right? It's like, what is it relevant for? Oh, you're not responsible for Shabbos. What does it mean not to be responsible? That I don't get paid? I anyway am not getting paid for Shabbos. So what's the question? Baktani ain't nosin lo skar Shabbos. Ishtik, so you're silent. Never answer. Maybe you know. Let me tell you what Rav Sheshet says. We're talking about over here where there was a kinyan that if he messes up in his shmira, he'll have to pay. And then he does have to pay because he was mishabed his, by making a kinyan in advance, he was mishabed his assets to make sure that he does his job. So in other words, there's an exception when it comes to Hegdash. Even though normal Hegdash cases, Shomer Sachar of Hegdash does not pay. That's if he didn't make a Kinyan. But once he made a Kinyan, that's Mishabit himself to have to pay regardless. And that's the story. Okay. Brings us to the next thing. We mentioned Reb Shimon before. That if you're chai v'achrayis, so then it's as if it's your money. If it's your money, so then it's subject to all these dinim. And there's a din onah on it, and so on and so forth. Okay. So Tani Tan kamed Rabbi Yitzchak bar Abba. So Tana said in the name of Rabbi, it said before Rabbi Yitzchak bar Abba, kachim, shechai v'achrayis and chayiv. Why? Why if it's a kachim that's chai v'achrayis, am I chayiv? Shani kari behen, b'ashem v'kichish. Because it's Hashem's, and he denied it. Because he's your friend and you denied it. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? I'm like, clapping, which direction are you going? And I can't really understand the way the pasuk reads the case you're talking about. When it's chai b'achrayis, is that Hashem's thing or is that your thing? It's more yours when you're chai b'achrayis. And why are you mentioning the b'ashem b'kichesh? You should say the other pasuk about misa v'kichesh. It's more like he's your friend, and when it's not chai b'achrayis, it's more b'ashem and not b'misa. So what's the story? So, right, ibcha mistabra makes more sense the other way. So amar lei ismaya. So shall I erase it? Is it wrong? Is my meaning bad? Maybe the whole thing is all messed up. Amar lei lo. No, you just have to understand it. Hachi kamer, this is what it's saying. Kachim chai b'achrayis on chayv. Kachim that I'm chayv, that I'm responsible for, it's chayv. Why? I it's hegdish. There it is. This rabu mi b'ashem v'kichesh. Because there's sometimes a thing that's actually Hashem's, and still you're chayv if you deny it. If you're chayv b'achrayis. V'she'en chayv b'achrayis potter. The imit mi b'amiso v'kichesh. Because it's excluded because of amiso has to be your friend. And v'kichesh, and this is not your friend. So basically what we're saying is that even though it's hegdish in both cases, the hegdish that you have responsibility on is nisrab in the pasuk, and the hegdish where you don't have responsibility for is excluded from the amisa of the kichesh, and that's the bottom line. So that's how you have to read it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Af ha-mecher sefer Torah margolos ubeima in the mina." We mentioned this in the Mishnah that these three things: sefer Torah, a pearl, an animal. There's no mina now. What's the deal with these three things? So, Tan, Ya Rabbi Yudoimer, Afa Mechaz Sefer Torah, no, there's no enough for Sefer Torah. Fishin Ketzet Me'al, because the value of a Sefer Torah has no limit, really. You know, it's so chashuv that whatever anybody would pay for it is its value. Okay, that's the idea. Behemo margolos ein lemano. Why the fish mipnei shadam rotsa lezavkan? Because those are things that people need to pair, so it does up the value. Like I have a very good animal, one very good animal for plowing, and I need a match for it. So I'm ready to pay a lot more for its match because I have one. The same is true by a pearl. You want to make an earring set out of pearls. You can't have them looking very different from each other. Yeah, no two pearls are exactly the same. It helps. What?
No, you have your head in between. It's fine. A little bit different. It's okay.
All right. Whatever. Anyway, I'm just telling you. They sell them together, so they're looking at them next to each other. Anyway, bottom line is, that's why it ups the price. And it's not subject to dinner, no. Everybody likes things matching. So why is it only limited to these things? These are especially chashuv. It's not just, it's nice to have matchy for many things, but this is more than that.
What is the argument that any person wanted?
It sounds like, maybe this should be applicable to all things.
All things, if you have something special, you can raise the price, basically.
Right, but he's saying that this is something that, but we're saying over here is that these things are uniquely uniquely important in your eyes, that the matching is really is very important for you. That's the idea. That's all. Now, that's why he lists specifically
like
these.
If I have a car and I paint it with a special color, so I can ask more money for the car.
Yeah, well, no, we're not talking about something unique. That's a different thing. We're talking about the idea over here is that these are things that the match is not just a nice thing. It's like very important.
It's a Hidur, yeah.
So it's very important. So therefore, it allows you to charge more now, and it doesn't apply to other things to the same degree because they're not necessarily chashuv. Okay, it's not as important. Okay, the ad kama. How? So this is an interesting thing. Yes, there's no one else. So what is the mark? I mean, is it unlimited? How much more? The answer is up to their value. Whatever the value is,
double it.
Yeah, exactly. So you could double the value. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda ben Zera Omer Afa Mocher Sus V'Sayef V'Chatitum V'Melchama En L'Mana M'Bnei Sheyesh Ben Chayei Nefesh. Selling a horse or a sword or a chatitum, which is a shield, okay, in war, there's no one. Well, you know why? Because that's... You need your.
I keep it for a
horse.
Yeah, whatever. The point is, the price in time of war is
it's a lifesaver.
That's a lifesaver. It's a different value. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which brings us to a new Mishnah. Okay, now this Mishnah is very, very important. We'll see more about it. Just like there's ona in buying and selling, and you're not allowed to overcharge or underpay. There's something else called onas dvarim, which is causing people tsar by the words that you say. Okay, causing people pain. Lo yomar lo. You cannot tell a seller how much is this item. Ben, you have no interest in buying, so you get the man's hopes up, and you have no interest in buying. Yeah, it's onas dvarim. It's causing him tsar. If somebody is a Baal Tshuva, he used to not be religious, he became religious. Don't say, do you remember when you
was eating pig, pork?
Yeah, right, eating pork, remember that, whatever. That makes him feel bad. And makes
or
him
good,
feel.
Who knows?
No. So you're not allowed to say that. Im hu ben gerim, somebody comes from converts. Lo yomer lo, you can't tell him, zchor masi avasecha, do you remember what your fathers used to do? A convert, you're not allowed to cause pain to, and or pressure him. Okay, so bottom line is very, very serious, severe love over here of anas dvarim. So Tanur ben the Rabbis learned losonu ishes amisai. This pasuk losonu ishes amisai ben anas dvarim akosmatar. But it's not talking about money or deal or business dealings. It's talking about anas dvarim. I don't remember anas dvarim or ino el ben osmama. Maybe it's money. Shomer v'chisim, we have a different pasuk v'chisim k'romim k'rala misecha or k'onamehar misecha re'arnas mo'mon amur. We already talked about the money one. So money became lo'isoinu ishas amisoi be'onas dvarim. You're causing a man pain with your words. Okay, Tad, what's the exact case? Im o'yah bal tshuva, somebody's a bal tshuva, al yomer lo'zchor me'asecha rishonim. Do you remember the sins that you used to do? Okay. Im o'yah ben gerim, what you think yourself from? I remember when you used to do whatever, such a troublemaker. Emoya ben Gerim, somebody was a convert, children of converts. Al Yomelos Chermas Yavasecha, oh, look at your fathers used to do. Emoya Ger, if the person himself is a convert, or Bodlo Motari wants to learn. Al Yomelos Peshach, on the veil is a trevis, Kotzim Ramotzim, a mouth that ate non-kosher foods, disgusting things. Balum Torah wants to study Torah. Shenemer piagvura, that's given by God. You like, you're embarrassing him. If a person's there's another example. Let's say a guy's suffering. He was ill. Banalov, right? Got illnesses. Mekaver's banav, or somebody lost a child. This is unfortunately something that people do all the time. Okay, not meaning to, but al yomer lo kederek shomer lo chaver of Yiv. Don't be like the friends of Yiv. Halo yirascha kislasecha tikvascha v'tam drachecha zecharna mihu nakiavad. Okay, basically what they're telling him is that, well, obviously the fact that this happened to you means you're not a righteous person. You deserve it. Okay, that's not what you're supposed to say.
It's true, but okay. You shouldn't say.
No, there's a Hashem has a cheshbon. It doesn't work that simple. It's not a simple equation like that, and it's a very harmful thing, very mean thing to say. It's like there's a thing that people used to say is that you're suffering so much. It means Hashem loves you because that's what it says. Whoever has Hashem yichyeh. So the response that they're thinking is that, you know what, Hashem should love you also.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
So I could share the love.
Yeah, right, exactly. So you have to be very careful not to cause people pain, which is that what that's doing. They're looking for grain. And they said, do you have grain to sell for our donkeys? We need food. Lo yomer lahem l'chuei t'lponi. Go to so-and-so. He's a seller. He never sold in his life. So like you're just sending him on a wild goose chase. Don't even look at something that to buy when you have no money. You know, like you're okay. This is something that's given over to the heart. You need to fear Hashem. That means, okay, anyway, so this is part of what we're saying here. Now, it's much more severe, much more serious on us farm than on us mamam. Why? She said, "Nemer b'viris melakecha." He said, "Lo nemer b'viris melakecha." So the fact that there's yiras elokim attached to it elevates it in its seriousness. For Blazar Amar Zeb begufa b'zeb mono. The reason why it's worse is because this is on the person's body; it makes him feel bad. The other one's money. Money's different. Okay, not attached to him. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar Zeb nitin li shavan b'zeb nitin li shavan. The reason why money's less severe is because you could pay it back. But when a person was insulted and felt bad, it's something that's not returnable. Tana Kamed Rav Nachman, by Yitzchak Kalamalbim, by Chaver Barabin, anybody who embarrasses somebody so much so that it causes his face to turn white. Kilu Shevech Tam, that's akin to murder. Amrlei, Shtaper Kamed, you're saying good. Why the Chazina Le Da Azil Sumka Basichibra? Person's, his face flushes, you know, whatever. So it's like you actually can see it in a person's face. What?
The blood drains from
his face. Exactly. Exactly. So that's the story. Amar le'abaye le'ravtimi. So Abaye says to Ravtimi, b'marava b'mayziri. In Eretz Yisrael, what are they very careful in? Amar le'be'achfri api. Not to be embarrassed. Not to embarrass somebody. Very makbid on them. Everybody goes to Ganem except for three people. That's a very harsh. Everybody goes to Ganem.
That's even
so
worse.
People who go down to Ganem, it's temporary going down. There's three that stay down. Who are those? Somebody who lives with a married woman. Somebody who shames somebody publicly, somebody gives somebody a negative nickname, you know, fatty, whatever that nickname is. So machana hainu album, is that the same thing as embarrassing, as causing somebody shame? So the Gemara says, no, it's a chiddush here. Even though he's used to that nickname, So everybody calls him that. Mm-hmm. He's still, you call him that name, it's very inappropriate.
Anyway. Giving it or co-using it?
Even
or both?
Co-using it. Even using. If you weren't the one who gave it.
Not,
it's already, he's used to it.
Stick to it.
He's already, everyone's calling him stinky. Whatever, it doesn't matter. You can't call him that. Okay.
Let's not get into specifics.
Okay, I'm giving an example. Okay. All right, everybody, we'll stop over here. Shkach. Have a beautiful day.